Hi, and thank you for tuning in to McDowell Mountain Community Church's podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you can be notified when we upload our latest message. We hope the message you hear today is encouraging to you as you navigate your week. Be blessed.
In this series, we're wrestling with the question, like, what does it mean to be a Christian? Like, so many people in our country claim Christianity, and so many in the world see Christianity as just another of the religions. So there's multiple religions. You can choose which framework you want to follow. But I'm wrestling with, and I want you to wrestle with, I want to encourage you to wrestle with the question, like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And then what is the goal of Christianity? Like, is the goal for me as a Christian to get to heaven when I die? And if that's the goal, is it my effort? Is it what Christ accomplished? Is my goal to get as many people to heaven when they die as well? Like, what is the goal of Christianity? And then, if you're like me, and I've followed Jesus for a long time, but I find myself over and over and over again running into some of the same life challenges. It's like certain things trip me up again and again. And I think to myself, like, isn't it time for me to get past this? Is there anybody in the room that feels that way? Like, is it time? Like, shouldn't I be further along right now? And can I really change, or am I just who I am? Do I throw up my hands and go, you know, this is just who I am, and I don't know about the whole, like, I believe in God, I trust that what Jesus did is enough, but I'm just going to be who I am, and there's nothing I can do about it, and one day I'll go to heaven, and everything will be better. Is that the goal of Christianity? Is that kind of what this whole thing is about? And what I hope we're communicating with all that I am is that Christianity is not just another religion. It's not just another of the choices of a framework, but that God's love for us was made known in a human being who sacrificed himself, who willingly gave up his life so that we could understand and be connected to that God, and we could be a part of bringing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, into the present reality, which there is hell all around us, right? Like, it's all over the place. And I hear Rhonda tell her story in a place where prostitution is legal and where young girls are literally raised to believe that their only purpose in life is to fulfill someone else's fantasies or passions or whatever it is. They're raised for that purpose. And I believe with everything that I am that Christianity isn't just a religion that's disconnected from the reality of life, but that God's intent is for this world to become a better place and for people to understand his great love and purpose for them in life. And as Christians, like, we are called to be transformed by that truth in a way that actually makes a difference in the world. And I hope we are communicating that, man, like, stepping into Christianity and into following Jesus isn't just about, like, agreeing with something. It's about opening ourselves to a whole new world. And Rhonda, you said, like, you sometimes have a fear, and my fear as a pastor is that I wouldn't adequately represent the truth and the calling of Jesus in the life of a Christian, and that I would not lead us in the right way to move beyond simply hoping for heaven when we die to a place where I'm living a good story that actually is bringing God's kingdom into the present. God says at the very end of the Bible, John has this vision, and this vision is that one day heaven and earth will actually collide. It's not actually this disembodied, sometimes we think about heaven as this disembodied self that I'm going to go somewhere when I die, but he has this vision that heaven and earth collide, and in that day, God will be with us, and he will wipe away every tear from every eye, and there will be no more pain or dying or death, and we will be fully known and in joy, in a joyful presence. Doesn't that sound awesome? And Jesus said, if we don't become like the children, we'll never experience it. I'm serious. That's what he says. And like, we didn't even plant that. That was awesome. Listen, Christianity is about bringing that up there, down here now. It's about welcoming that, to experiencing it individually and corporately in a way that then welcomes it. So here's the deal. I ran way too long in the first service. Sometimes I just get going. And so what I want to do is I want you to know, and I want you to hear this, that God wants to transform you and me into the best version of us. That's what he wants for you. And let me tell you, you want that too. Don't you want to be a better human being? Yeah, like we all want to be better human beings. And don't you want to be more loving and joyful and full of peace? Don't you want to experience peace in the world today? Not just when you go to heaven. Don't you want to experience that right here, right now? And patience and kindness. Don't you want us to be kind people? Don't you want to be a kind person? Like all that stuff. God wants that for you. And it's the very thing that he wants to transform you into. And the question is, how can that happen? How does it happen? How can I, knowing myself and the mess that I am, because I'm a mess. Amen. No, I need an amen. I'm a mess. I thought my kids or somebody would speak up. I'm a mess. And listen, I'm selfish. I'm impatient. Sometimes I get angry. Like, I know what's inside here. And I know there's some things that have been done to me and some pain that I've experienced in the past that influences some of that. But I also know I'm just a selfish human being. I want what I want. And you know what? You're not that much different than me, are you? Because you want what you want. And you want people to stay out of your way so you can get what you want. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Right? Like, that's just like part of it. And so how can we be transformed to be the best version of ourselves? And I asked you about fruit. And when I moved to Arizona, we had some fruit trees. When we bought our home, there were some fruit trees. And I didn't know anything about fruit trees. I just ate peaches. That's all I knew about. The peaches were good. And I love apple dipped in peanut butter with some chocolate chips on the top. Anybody hungry? Anyway, it's awesome. You should try it. We had some fruit trees. And I realized that like 1 year there would be a lot of fruit and the next year there wouldn't be any fruit. And I couldn't figure out like how can I make this tree produce more fruit? And so I started like doing a little research and I realized that if there's too many branches on the tree that aren't producing fruit, you've got to cut those branches off because they're actually taking the nutrients from the places that they need to go. And so you got to cut branches off. And in Arizona, this was news to me. There's not enough rain. You got to water. Anyone? You got to water, and there's some fertilizer stuff that you can do. And so we started doing some of that, you know, and we'd put the fertilizer and we'd water, and still there were some seasons that it didn't produce enough fruit. And it's like, why can't I produce the fruit that I want to produce? And so I'm wrestling with, like, how does fruit grow is a good question to wrestle with, and what's necessary, and here, what is in my control and what is beyond my control? And I realized there are certain things that are just beyond my control when it comes to my fruit trees. There's some pieces that I cannot manufacture on my own. There are some natural processes that happen. There are some things that are internal to that tree that I'll never see, never fully understand, and I don't have the power to control. And then the next slide is, I realized I don't have the power or ability to grow fruit. And you know what? You don't either. You can't make fruit grow. Now, I have the power and you have the power to either hinder or help the conditions in which fruit can grow, but you can't grow fruit. Now, I know you might say, that's just semantics, Matt, but stay with me. Because the same is true in the spiritual life, in the life of following Jesus. And for many of us, we have worked hard to become more patient people. I'm going to become more patient. Why can't I be more patient right now? And we keep running into the same things. Like, why can't I get past that? So Jesus is at the center. We always come back to Jesus, and he says this. This is the night, like kind of the final things that he said to his disciples. He said this. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And I feel like that's the anti-American way right there. Because you and I are raised to believe we can do whatever we want to do. Come on. You can do whatever you put your mind to. Whatever you focus on and work hard enough at, you will eventually be able to make it happen. That's me. Like, I can get through this. I can figure this out. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And Jesus says, the way you produce fruit is not in your own strength, but in planting yourself in something beyond you that can do something that you can't fully control on your own. Now, there's some things that you've got to do, and we're going to talk about that. And so the very first question that I would ask you is, as someone who wants to be a better human, which you all kind of, I mean, maybe a third of you said yes. The others feel like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I think we all want to be better humans and better people, and we want to be a better version of what's here. And I would say to you, in line with Jesus, that you can't do that on your own. Like, it's just not possible. And you can work really hard, and you can read the books, and you can put in the practices, but if you're not relying on a power that's greater than you, eventually you're gonna run into a brick wall that you just can't get past. And Jesus said, you've got to remain in me. So I would ask you, where are you planted? Like, where have you planted yourself? Are you relying on your own strength to become a better person? And if you are, and that's been me, if we are just relying on us, it's never going to work. I'm never going to get there because I'm going to fail again and again and again. So Paul, taking this metaphor of branches and fruit and all of that, I love how the Bible's tied together. Paul was one of the very first Christians. He's trying to help take this Jesus message and help people understand how to live it. So Paul says this. He says, I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And what he's taking this image, so don't lose the fruit tree image. He's taking this image of a tree or branches planted in a vine, connected to a source. And the Holy Spirit is the internal flow of nutrients. Does that make sense? It's the internal, what's happening inside the tree or the branches and the vine. It's what's happening. He's saying, that's the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing, and this is what he calls the fleshly things, the fleshly desires. This was a weird thing for me, trying to understand and really comprehend, like, what does that mean? Does it just mean the bad stuff or the evil stuff? And here's the reality of our lives, every single one of us. Like, you are a part of this, I'm a part of this. If we just go with the flow of culture and what we want, we are being formed into very selfish people. That's where our culture, like, our culture develops us as very selfish people. And if I just go with the flow, if I just do what I want to do, that's the fleshly desires. That's what he's saying. And he says, if you do this, like, you're going to end up doing things that you don't want to actually do. Like, your flesh tells you you want to, but it's not really bringing about the best version of you. It's the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what your flesh wants to do. So you have this, like, dueling battle going, and sometimes we represent it with the little angel and demon on our shoulders. You know, that's kind of ridiculous, but it's the reality that there's some forces that are pulling us in different directions. And what Paul calls it is the Spirit and the flesh. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Some of you are with me still? Okay, so these are constantly fighting each other. Now, what's interesting to me is no matter where I visit, in the country, in the world, there is this high level of interest in the spiritual things, what people call spirituality. Like, everybody's interested in spirituality, like, whatever that means. What I find is that even with this high interest in spirituality, we often miss the God whose spirit is what's pulling us all humans, toward him. Like, it's the spirit that, like, actually, have you ever, I'm gonna ask you this question later. I'll go ahead and ask you right now. Have you ever, in your mind, you knew the right thing that you should do, but you chose the wrong thing anyway? Anybody? I mean, it's the human experience, right? Like, you know, like, I know this is what I should do, but I'm just going to do this anyway. And it could be as simple as, like, man, I've eaten a lot today. I know I shouldn't eat this cake, but you eat it anyway. You're like, I'm just going to do it. And then later you regret it, right? When you're sick and, like, you can't move, you're laying on the couch and you're like, I can't, like, that's a silly, but we get that. It's the spirit that is actually that work around and within us that's actually drawing us towards good. That's what the Spirit is doing in and around us. Now, you're going to hate this next part, because what Paul does is he gives us a vivid picture of what the characteristics of our life if we just do whatever feels good. And here's what he says. You're not going to like this. When you follow the desires of your flesh, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. This is like a kind of a three-piece thing that he puts together. And he says that when you just do whatever you want, whatever feels good, you do you. Have you ever heard that? You just do you. Like, when you go that route, it ends up like leading to this place of like lustful pleasures, which you think are good. They feel good maybe in the moment, but later you probably come to regret it. God's calling, and he, like, what's interesting to me, so he's talking about sexuality right here. What's interesting to me is that we see this, but we don't tend to recognize it in us. Like, when Rhonda shares a story about human trafficking and especially like sexual exploitation, and we hear like the idea that maybe there's children raised with the end goal of using them for financial gain so that others can use them for whatever pleasures they have. We look at that and we go, that's wrong. Like, that's not right. I think we would agree, right? That's terrible. That's awful. We see that out there, but it's a lot more difficult to see it here. And I think what Paul wants to like spark in us is realities of our lives, not just something out there. And there's certain people, among, like, we wrestle with certain things that we think are just giving us pleasure. They don't hurt anybody else, but do they? And do they actually drive us further away from other people? Pornography is a huge issue in our culture. And we think it has no bearing on anybody else. And we actually begin to believe and think that the Christian view of sexuality is this low view. Like, we see sexuality in our culture as almost recreational. Like, we just, like, you just do you. You just do what feels good to you. It's not hurting anybody. And the reality is, the Christian view is this high view that thinks there's such a beauty in sexual expression with another in the confines of a covenant relationship, that it's so beautiful that actually in the right, it actually can bring about new life. That's a high view of sex, not a low view of sex. And when we flip that script and we just feel like it, that Paul says this is where it leads. And it's just this sense of you just do whatever feels good and it's fine. Listen, I know like some of you are like, Matt, you're old and like you have this Christian view that just is so outdated. Listen, none of you, if you had kids, none of you would raise your kids and go, you just do whatever feels good. None of you would do that. You shouldn't do that. Maybe some of you would. I don't know. You shouldn't do that. If my kids came home with homework and I was like, hey, just do what feels good tonight. Like, you just do you. Like, you don't want to do homework? And my kid, like, I have a couple of them sitting over here, and they're like, you never did that, Dad. I wish you would have done that. That would have been awesome. Like, you just do what feels good tonight. You don't want to do your homework? Cool, don't do it. Just play some video games. That sounds fun. Do that. None of us would raise our kids like that, would we? And we would actually say we're bad parents if we do that. Some of you would say, that's terrible. You wouldn't do that. Listen, God, because he knows what's best for us, actually gives us some, like, boundary markers to help us experience the life that he has for us. And we wonder why we're not, like, the Spirit isn't moving in us. And it's, like Paul would say, it's because we just give in to our fleshly desires, which unplugs us from the source of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Man, I told you you would hate this part. It's terrible, isn't it? But it, not just that. Like, he goes, idolatry, sorcery, when you give your heart and your mind to things that shouldn't have your heart and your mind, hatred, some of you, like, hatred, fighting, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, and envy. Does that sound like our world right now? Come on. And Paul would say, it's because we're indulging our fleshly desires to do whatever we want and to demand our selfish desires on the inside. Man, sometimes Robin says my voice gets too inflected. I'm sorry if you feel like I'm yelling. I really don't mean, like, but I'm passionate about this. And I myself, I'm preaching to myself right now because I so often just think like, I think like some of you, like, what does it hurt? It's just me. And I fail to realize that I am actually blocking the flow of the very thing that could bring me life and the people around me, the fruit that they need in their life as well. And so he gives this whole list and he says, let me warn you again, anyone living like this, you won't experience the kingdom of God in the present. Like, you're not going to be able to experience it because you're disconnecting yourself from the flow of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Are you kind of with me a little bit? So then he turns the corner. You're going to love this part. So you want to mark that last part out of your Bibles. Don't do it, but that's what you want. I do too, because it, like, that's uncomfortable. But then he turns the corner and he says, but if you, like, remain connected like Jesus called you to, if you plant yourself in Christ and you actually surrender to that, the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you will find a way to surrender yourself, here's what will come about. The Holy Spirit will produce something that you can't produce on your own. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there's no law. Like, this is the best, this is the best kind of experience that you could have as an individual, as a human, and the people around you, the person you're married to, your kids. Like, wouldn't this be the best? If someone asked you, hey, what's your home life like? What's it like in your home? If you were able to answer, it's loving. There's so much joy. It's so peaceful. Like, it feels like home because it's so peaceful. And, like, everybody's kind to each other, like, in our family. And there's a lot of goodness and laughter. And we love each other. We're committed. Like, we're faithful and gentle. And everybody has some self-control. How many of you want to, like, I don't want that in my family. Like, that sounds terrible. Doesn't that sound awesome? It sounds awesome because it's what God wants for you. And down deep, we know that's what we want too. And it's what the Holy Spirit wants to develop in you. It's what God wants, like, it's what he wants to do in you. And then he finishes this little section by saying this, those who belong to Jesus have crucified the desires of their flesh. Like, they've gotten so, they've gotten to the place that they're so committed to being rooted in Christ and like the Holy Spirit that they've actually crucified the very things that are killing them. And crucified is a very strong word. It's a strong image. And, like, I think about my life, and I would ask you to think about your life. What is it that's killing you? What's keeping you from being a loving person? Like, what's keeping you from joy and peace and patience and kindness? And, like, what's keeping you from that? Would you be willing to say, I'm going to crucify that in order to allow God's Spirit to flow in me? and change me and transform me from the inside out. And then he says, since we're living by the Spirit, let's keep in step. And so the whole idea in this series of what it means to follow is the starting point is surrender, which we talked about last week, daily surrender. And today, it's an increasing awareness. An increasing awareness of God's Spirit, what he wants to do in us. It's an increasing awareness of like the temptations that keep tripping me up. And being able to like get rid of them, like crucify them. It's an awareness of the needs of others. One of the reasons I'm so thankful that Rondo happened to be here today when we're talking about this is because, I mean, how many of you, if you walked out of your hotel in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, and a homeless man, you're all alone, and a homeless man starts talking to you, how many of you are going to engage that conversation? Or how many of you are going to walk faster? Like to get away, like you want to escape. How many of you are going to go back into the hotel and you're like, I just won't eat tonight or whatever she was going to do. Like you're not going to do that. And like, I'm not trying to Rhonda say, oh, like, but Rhonda was open to the Spirit doing something in that encounter and engaged that person. And because of it, look at the blessing that she received from God because she was aware. She had this increasing awareness of maybe how the Spirit would work. So as we surrender ourselves to Christ, we also become aware of his Spirit, which is working in and around and among us. Dallas Willard, who I love Dallas Willard, he says this, that the first and most basic thing we can and must do as Christians is to keep God forefront in our minds, like to keep God to be mindful of God in the morning, in the midday, in the evening. And it's the fundamental secret of actually caring for our souls. And our part is to constantly direct and redirect our mind back to God. And if we could do that, it would help us become more aware, increasing awareness of God. I talk a lot about the 12 steps. It's been a healing practice for many of you in this room. The 11th step, I mean, it just fits right in. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. That's that idea of keeping God before our minds. Why? So that we might ask and come to experience the knowledge of his will and the power to actually carry that out, which is the Holy Spirit. It's the 11th step and 12 steps, AA and the big book. So here's a couple questions, and we'll be done. Name a time when you knew the right thing and you chose to do something anyway. What was the result? Do you have regret later? When people talk about God's Spirit or his presence, I love this question. When people start talking about God's Spirit or a story like Rhonda shares, do you find yourself like disengaging, like that couldn't happen, so I'm kind of out on the conversation? Or do you actually engage a little bit? Do you maybe like lean in a little, which I think it's interesting to wrestle with that question. If you were confident that it was God's Spirit leading you, would you be more willing to follow or obey? If you knew, like I know that's God's Spirit. And if so, then that next question, like what can I practice in order to be more aware of his Spirit and to hear his voice? So I want to encourage you just to take these questions and maybe with a friend or just by yourself or with your family, just wrestle with some of them. I think they help form us as we begin to really understand why we live the certain way that we live. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to sing a song called Gratitude. And it's just this beautiful song of thanking God for who he is. And as we sing this, maybe you want to receive communion to be reminded of God's love. So in the back ring, there is communion. You can slip back during this time and receive communion. There's candles. You can light a candle, which represents God's presence, and just invite his presence into your life. So God, we turn our hearts and our minds towards you, the God who wants our best. You want the best version of us. And you want to bring about your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And you invite us to be a part of that. That's unbelievable that you would invite us in on that journey. God, I pray that we would, in an increasing way, become aware of your presence, your spirit, in our hearts, in our minds. And I pray that we would keep in step with that spirit. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.